This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side. And of course, the MGO Blog Roundtable with us. We have our crew. No Brian Cook today, but we'll catch up with Brian again in the not too distant future. We have Seth Fisher from MGOblog.com. Seth, how are you this morning?
I'm all right. Our Kickstarter is up to 38. We're about $2,500 away from making our goal. So putting a shout out for that right now. Hail of Victors 2021. It's happening.
There you go. And then we have, of course, the guy. I don't know how much you were listening earlier this week, but, you know, here and there, to and fro, there were some references to Craig Ross and how old Craig Ross is.
Ross is so old he remembers the bubonic plague.
I had to throw in there how loved Craig Ross is on these airwaves and by this station. He is with us once again, in case you didn't know it, Craig, we love you, man. How you doing?
I love you too, Sam and Ira, but I'm skeptical of all of this, so, except for my age, which I can
Calendar. Who was talking about Craig this week? Yeah. Someone was, I mean, they were going to talk. It was, that's who it was. It was Rich Reddy. It was
Rich Reddy.
Oh,
Rich Reddy was going to town. Rich Reddy is my boy, and he's complaining.
He was talking about how old Craig Ross is.
He was just calling you experienced.
Yeah,
experienced. That sounds like Rich.
Yeah, but anyway, guys, we are very experienced in the when it comes to the conversations about realignment, right? But feels like that time is now. That time that we were looking to. You know, the shift to 16 teams, Texas and Oklahoma being on the move somewhere. It looked like it was going to happen a couple of years ago. They locked it back in with the Big 12. But now, based on this Houston first reported in the Houston Chronicle, and now more reporting suggests that Texas and Oklahoma are likely on the move to the SEC. What do you make of that? Do you buy that this is close to happening? If you don't, do you think the Big Ten should make a play for them? What do you think of this whole storyline?
Well, I think it's probably real, although I don't know if Oklahoma has said very much as far as I can tell. So they may be sort of in the trial balloon stage to have the story leaked and see how their fans and others respond to it. So they are in a situation of plausible deniability. So they could say, hey, we never said about anything about this if it doesn't come to be. I assume there's a lot of money involved. I don't know if Texas has a financial gain on this. That one isn't clear to me. I assume Oklahoma would, and I assume the SEC benefits big time from a financial point of view by bringing Texas and Oklahoma in. Of course, the point is, or the problem is that Texas A&M is probably, I assume, going crazy about this.
They don't
want anything to do with Texas being in the SEC with them, is my guess. And you know, so there's that. And I think I heard that Missouri wasn't very enthusiastic also.
Right. Those two schools seem to be hard no's, as Ira said earlier.
And I think they need at least, and I think that means if two other schools are opposed, they ain't getting in.
Correct. Four no's would block it.
Can you get four no's though? Why do you get two other no's from the SEC?
Well, perhaps because division alignments become problematic for other schools. Now, you know, all of a sudden, one or two of these schools basically become Kansas, and at least in football. And that may not be so appealing, but money is money talks. And I don't know, I highly commend Seth's article yesterday, which is just a monster about football ticket pricing at MGO Blog. It's an incredible piece of work. It has stuff that I hadn't quite thought about, and maybe Seth can talk about this a bit as we go on, because it was a remarkable article, and I haven't seen anything quite like it anyplace else. But the reality is that the Big Ten and Michigan have major league financial problems right now. They're probably solving it in self-destructive ways. And I'm going to guess this isn't singular to the Big Ten. And so if Texas and Oklahoma come into the SEC, and my guess is that means, I don't know how many millions of dollars, but lots.
They estimate with $20 million more per.
For school. Mm. Well, $20 million a school goes a little bit of a way to salve any problems. You know, but I don't know. Texas A&M, would the Big Ten take Texas A&M? Gives them a Texas foothold.
Does Texas A&M have an out, is the question. I mean, they are screaming bloody murder about this even being an idea. And the timing of how everything went down, Seth, and I wonder if you're, it just this screams like Texas A&M leaks this. So
it could have been. I mean, I think that they're looking at the barrel for NIL. They know that the money, that the system's going to change, and the Big Ten's going to have an opportunity to compete with them in ways that the Big Ten wasn't competing with them before, right? I know it's taken a while to get off the ground, but Michigan, Penn State, they have huge donors that they don't have at some of these SEC schools, and that money was going towards, like, you know, benches and all sorts of stuff at the school, which is now going to be routed to the players, and that's going to change the math a little bit. And keep in mind, the Big Ten already can offer much better education, much better campuses, much better people, much better everything, right? Like, except for the football, you know, you go to a Big Ten campus and you go to an I mean, SEC campuses are beautiful from a football standpoint, but if you want to go to school somewhere, there's a reason why we've been able to win some of these battles in the past. Big Ten schools are gorgeous. So I think that might be one of the reasons that they're looking at it now, as opposed to maybe not a year ago. But this was always going to happen. The Big 12 was just so top-heavy, they were going to fall over eventually. That was not a cohesive league. The thing is, you don't have a conference of 16 teams. You're a league. So what they're doing is they're building themselves a Southern League of all the best teams in the South, and they're going to be a step ahead of anybody else in college football. The SEC wants to be dominant. The only play the Big Ten has is not to keep on adding teams. I want to stop any discussion right now of, like, oh, let's go and find TCU, right? Like that, or Baylor. Like, no. Nothing that is smaller than a school, than like the average school in the Big Ten right now, is going to work. What the Big Ten should do is talk to the Pac-12, and say, look, let's build ourselves into a Northern League. And we'll have our championship in Pasadena at the end of every year. And we'll play our historical rivals. And then we'll have some crossover games. And Nebraska and Colorado will play. That's your play.
Yeah. I mean, the upside to that is, I mean, you could have essentially a 12-game schedule with good teams. You know, you wouldn't – I mean, maybe you lose a home game, but you gain money – by playing Stanford or USC or Oregon or Cal.
They play each other anyway. They all, right. Yeah, we have a lot of crossover games with them already.
So yeah, we have seen in the past, and I'm not arguing that this should have been mindset, but they didn't have, you know, on-field competition at the forefront of the decision-making when they added Maryland and Rutgers, right? and again, we can be critical of that.
Yeah.
But if the current mindset is anything close to that, then you could see the appeal of adding one of the Texas schools that might fit the academic profile, even if they don't fit the, what did you say? What did you use? The average Big Ten?
The average Big Ten. Yeah, but you're not going to, you guys said earlier on the show that, you know, if you get Baylor, you get Waco. You don't get Texas. right? There's not going to be that many viewers in Dallas.
You get TCU, then you get Dallas Fort Worth.
No, you get TCU fans in Dallas Fort Worth, which is like a small part of it.
But you get the TV market though.
Officially, yeah, but the TV market is a dead market. The whole cable market, the play that we made to get New York viewers by grabbing Rutgers, like that whole market is gone. It's going to be gone in 3 years.
What are they using to come up with this metric that they are going to boost the SEC network payout by $20 million?
It was just the school payout. It was just something that Dennis Dodd wrote in the article that so the SEC, somebody crunched the numbers. I'm not sure where it's coming from. Well, in the beginning, it's still a TV contract thing because the TV contract goes through 2036. So in the beginning, it's still a TV contract thing. And I don't know how much Texas actually adds to that is the thing because they already have the markets.
It could that's be they wrote it into the contract.
But it is done. But it is based on that's where it's the number that Dodd had, and he got it from somebody else. So it seems like a fairly solid number that
this additional money is coming from somewhere. To the extent that they can tap into that for each institution, I think they would favor doing that. And if I'm just using the TV metric as the rule here because that's what's been used in the past. Maybe it doesn't add as much, but you know, just to stick with the theory for a second, it'll add something to have a Texas market. It could add something to have a Kansas City market. Does that drive the thinking? Not saying that it should, but is that how the higher ups are thinking? And then the additional piece of it is, as someone tweeted in earlier, it's like, man, this would this give the Big Ten more of an avenue into Texas in recruiting to have a Texas school on the in the conference, in the league.
Sure. But I mean, I don't think it gives you much of an avenue if you have Baylor, right? That's not going to do anything for you. Right. Michigan's play in Texas is Texas.
Right.
And if they had any chance, it was to say to Texas, look, do you want to be in the, you know, in the SEC with all those schools and be stuck with them? Or do you want to be up here with us and we'll be the mega conference with you? Like, look at your options there and look at your options here and tell me who you really want to be playing. Do you want Michigan fans visiting or do you want Arkansas fans visiting?
Yeah, that's the reality. And it may be, if this is being driven by Texas, that Texas is not just speaking to the SEC, but they're speaking to the Big Ten.
Right.
And so, yes, would Texas coming into the Big Ten be a win-win? Yeah, and it's a bigger win for Texas than for them coming into the SEC. If the Big Ten is interested, makes a whole lot more sense than Texas going to the SEC.
I agree with that. I mean, you are, again, not to disparage this, but just the gauntlet that you'd be stepping into. You are joining a league again with Texas A&M. Not to say that Texas would be scared of that, but
no,
you know, the novelty of being a part of the Big Ten, I think, would play for them. The academic fit is better. I got to believe the financial windfall. But for a minute, I mean, has anyone heard what becomes of the Longhorn Network if they join the SEC?
That is going to go away.
Okay.
Gotcha. That's the plan.
So
I assume it goes away if they join the Big Ten Network, too. And if that would happen, you know, I have some other thoughts. I mean, I don't know if it's axiomatic that the Big Ten, just because the SEC goes to 16 teams, does the Big Ten have to go to 16? I mean, unless there's some upside for the, you know, financial upside, essentially, it's hard for me to see what the Big Ten would be doing. And so going in to grab Baylor or TCU sort of feels like a downgrade to me. I don't see anything in the Big Ten for that. I doubt if it brings much money, and it certainly sort of waters the conference. In football, and you know, and
if you had a Baylor and Kansas in basketball, that'd be pretty significant.
That would be significant, but you know, the Big Ten is already pretty good in basketball. Last time I checked, and so I'm not sure it's like necessary. And so I have another thought. I mean, this one is just struck me about 10 seconds ago. Why not bring in University of Toronto? Now, that's a great school, wonderful academic school, in the big print, sort of in the big Ten footprint. Probably you get Canada
They're an AAU school?
Yeah. You get Canada as a market. Canada is a pretty big market. Would Canada be excited about University of Toronto playing hockey in the Big Ten, which we actually need another school in the Big Ten playing hockey? I think they would. And could they build other programs? Could they maybe even build football? There's a lot of Canadian football players these days coming to the United States. Plenty of Canadian basketball players.
Yeah.
I mean, so they could build a very fine program in those sports. And Canada, they would be excited about that. Now, I'm not sure you could do it with McGill, which is, one of the premier schools in North America.
We already added Rutgers. We already have a bad claim to being the first program to ever play football.
Right. Yeah, that's right. But I could see University of Toronto for sure. And it would take some work by the Big Ten. Maybe the Big Ten would have to spend a little bit of money, but the dividends coming back would be enormous. You would bring an entire country and a fairly large country into the Big Ten. So if the Big Ten is serious, I would say do that as opposed to talking about Baylor or TCU, which is, third rate. There's a song by the Amazing Rhythm Aces, third rate romance, low rent rendezvous. And that's what that sounds like to me.
Look, there's nothing sexy about what's left over. I mean, your fans, football fans especially, will not like any of the options. Because as Ira pointed out earlier, you can't poach the ACC. Notre Dame's almost certainly going to go to the ACC. So you're right. I mean, if that's your measure, the competitive landscape of the Big Ten, if that's your metric, you're right, you should stand pat. I'm just not convinced that that's what's driving the thinking.
Well,
unless they learned from the extreme discontent around the league about adding Rutgers in Maryland, no offense to present company, but there are a lot of Big Ten fans are like, this added freaking nothing to the equation for us from a football perspective. Would they dare go that route again? I don't know. I don't know where Kevin Warren is relative to where Jim Delaney
was. I'm guessing it's not Kevin Warren. I'm guessing Big Ten Network is in the conversations, and they're the ones who are trying to hang on to the old cable model, and they're the ones who are probably talking in terms of, like, let's get this market so that we can force all the grandmas who still pay for cable there to pay for it. But, like, that market is not going to last, and that's not what you should be looking at this point. At this point, you should be looking at the SEC is cornering it's creating itself a league, a professional collegiate league in the South, where they get to control a substantial portion of the programs that are in that entire region, right? Like that's going to be a football league, and you can just play an entire season down there and ignore everybody else. And the SEC championship is going to be a big freaking deal if Texas and Oklahoma are part of this thing too, right? That's, everyone's going to be coming out. They're going to control half the playoffs out of that league. So you look at what can we do.
What if Texas A&M has an out? What if Texas A&M has an out? Would they be appealing?
I don't want Texas A&M, honestly. They're weird. That's a cult. I really don't think Texas A&M. Sure, financially speaking, whatever. But that's a cult, man.
There are weird cults in the Big Ten right now. We talk about them every week, right?
I mean, we've got Wisconsin already. We don't need to go beyond what we've got, okay? And they're a Midwest cult, okay? That, like, they worship cheese and beer. That's cool. We can deal with that. I don't like what's going on at Texas A&M. The play is to grab the Pac-12 because they can't make TV work anyway, right? Like, the Pac-12 network has been a bust, and their games are on at a different time than ours, so it's like, hey, guess what? As soon as our game's over, you don't have to switch to the Pac-12, right? USC, UCLA is going to be on, right? Like, at the same night that you just watched Michigan, Ohio State, and then Wisconsin, Iowa, or whatever the middle game is, right? Like, they're going to have it's just such a natural fit, and then at the end of it, you play your championship in Pasadena, right? Like, that That is a championship. That's something everyone's going to tune into. You just stole the Rose Bowl out from the whole process, right? They're all talking about what are you going to do with the Rose Bowl in the championship game, especially because they want to play it in a pro stadium. Well, guess what? Now the Rose Bowl means something again. And now we can be the ones saying, look, we can play an entire schedule where like you play two games against your local MAC teams or whatever, and then we're going to play a couple games across the country with each other, and then you're going to play your pod, and then you'll play some other Big Ten teams so you see everybody every once in a while. That is like an exciting league that we can put together that fits everything that we want out of a college football season.
When you say we, you talking about fans?
Big Ten, money, the players, like everybody.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they respond. And to Craig's point, yeah, I think Texas A&M is the one putting this out there, trying to put the kibosh on it with absolutely no leverage. Just the timing of everything played out. So Jimbo Fisher is going up to talk to the media. The Houston Chronicle drops the story. Russ Bjork is there with a statement. We want to be the only team in the SEC, right? Only Texas team in the SEC. Just the way those dominoes fell was too much to be. It wasn't coincidence that all went down. So I think that's the case. Can I prove it? No. If it's not the case, then it's Texas putting it out, leaking it out, and leaking it out for the purposes, to your point, Craig, of saying, hey, Big Ten, guess what? We're right. Open. We're open for business.
Yep.
Oklahoma. And it doesn't matter that Oklahoma isn't saying anything. Oklahoma is going to do what Texas says to do anyway, I think. Like, how marketable is Oklahoma on its own?
Texas. Yeah, that's exactly right, Sam. I mean, to me, this, if you remember the old Saturday Night Live skit was with a guy named Leonard Pinth-Garnell doing bad theater. And this looks like bad theater to me. And so when something looks like that, to me, it's either Texas A&M leaking this all out, but I think it's a little more likely it's Texas who's talked to Oklahoma. Oklahoma doesn't want to say anything. They want plausible deniability, and Texas is saying, hey, we're open for business.
So Oklahoma does not fit the academic profile. Ira went over this earlier in the show. They're not in the AAU, right, Ira? Oklahoma's not in the AAU.
Correct. Oklahoma's not in the AAU. They're way out of the top 100 academically.
Oklahoma ain't coming to the Big Ten. You know, that ain't happening.
Why do we care? Why do we care about the academic profile? I mean, are we really pretending like the academic profile of the school is going to matter in the Big Ten now?
Yes. Yes. It will to university presidents, and university presidents still have some say. And it's why the Big Ten would take Texas in a heartbeat and not take Oklahoma, even with a sledgehammer to their heads. So even if
a condition of Texas joining was Oklahoma comes with us, they still wouldn't take Oklahoma.
That's what I think.
Good grief.
That's what I think. and so now, have I ever been wrong? Only almost on every show, but that's my opinion. And so I think this is, if it is Texas leaking this, it is exactly that. It's Texas saying to the, you know, we're tired. This Big 12 gig isn't really working for us, and we're looking for something else.
Yeah, and I can't see the Big Ten declining the opportunity to add Texas. I mean, Nebraska's in it. Now again, they were in the AAU when they joined.
Right.
For a minute.
They didn't kick them out when they got kicked out of the AAU, right? So, I mean, a lot has changed. I mean,
let's get Oklahoma in for a minute, too, and then invite them in, and then they can drop them as well. Yay, you will understand. It's football.
Hey,
come on. Oklahoma, Nebraska, baby. if it gets you
Texas. But if academics are a driving force, like I said, along with the money, I'm telling you, Baylor and Kansas. I mean, the football fans will hate it. Basketball fans will love it.
Yeah, I Baylor in Kansas makes me ill. I wish I was Tony.
It makes me sick.
I wish I was Tony Kornheiser with the Canadian flag. Right?
I said that earlier. I said, man, you feel dirty just talking about those schools, right? It's like, you just They are walking scandal. Something's always happening.
Baylor have a player, basketball player, kill another basketball player, murder
him? And the coach tried
to cover it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's
that was a while ago, though.
That was a long time ago, but it's, you know, it's hard for me to get it out of my head.
I don't think Baylor's in the AAU either, are they?
They are not. They're just the top 100 academic institution. Kansas is in the AAU, according to what I read this morning. So
I don't know.
But they're another seedy school, though.
Seedy is right. And one other thing, you know, comes to me, and that's, does Texas really want Austin, which is in Austin, I think, really want to be ruled by hillbilly heaven? Because that's what's going to happen.
I agree with the sentiment here that Austin is an outlier in that region. Have you ever been to Austin? Austin is like a southern Ann Arbor.
Yeah, exactly.
And so and they want to be ruled by Tuscaloosa and I mean, really?
You want Tennessee fans descending on that in that town? Like, that's who you want to be hosting right now? That's what I'm talking. I was saying. Yeah. Like, who do you want visiting? Iowa fans or South Carolina fans?
But wait, there was this whole controversy over the Eyes of Texas. And one of the boosters came out and said, if you don't want to see the Eyes of Texas, then don't come to Texas. So it's not like you don't have that element down there.
Yeah, you can't get the Texas out of Texas. By the way, Sam, thanks for bringing that up. I want you to bring that up every single day until Patton is signed to my Michigan, all right?
I'd be putting a whole lot out front. That and other recruitments, but anyway. Go ahead.
You need to go to an ad or whatever.
Yes, we do need to get to a break. We will slide that break in. We'll call it halftime. We'll be back on the other side. Yeah. Go Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we done talking about the alignment now, or is that...
I just have one other thought. Huh? I mean, and that's that I'm not so sure that ACC contract...
Is binding?
Yeah. I mean, there's a famous case with a very great judge who should have been on the Supreme Court out of the Washington Circuit, out of the D.C. Circuit. Guy name was David Bazelon. And he wrote a famous opinion called William versus Walker Thomas, which talks about the unconscionability of contracts and how they're not enforceable if they're not conscionable. And to me, if you leave a conference and for 15 years, all your external revenues go back to the conference you left.
But here's a question I have for you, Craig.
I'm not sure that the courts would view that as a conscionable contract.
So here's the question, Craig. That the extension of that contract was unanimously voted upon by the presidents of all the schools. They all agreed to it unanimously.
That's the same for any contract. You've always agreed to it. But contracts.
My point is, no one said we don't want to do this. They all signed on it. So it's not like one of the schools said, we don't want to, but we'll do it anyway. I think Florida State actually probably was that. But they all unanimously agreed to the extension.
Well, I'm saying, let's say Duke decides to leave. And they say, we're not giving you our money. So the ACC sues Duke. Where they have to sue them? North Carolina, isn't that where Duke is? And who's on the North Carolina Supreme Courts? Bunch of Duke law grads.
That was one of the points Dennis
did. I mean, you know how that case is going?
Dodd did say the argument will be just fine. We're going to break the deal and just sue us and we'll see what happens and play it out in courts.
Yeah, and it'll take 23 years for it to be resolved. And in the end, Duke will win. And so, I'm skeptical of... Now they may not want to chance it, but because it does put them at some risk, but I'm not sure that's an enforceable contract.
I think if the Big Ten and Pac-12 were to combine themselves,
thanks, Mark,
and then the SEC wants to do their thing, everyone else could just look at the ACC and be like, sorry, you're out. Right? Like we're not even going to have a playoff. We're going to have a Big Ten SEC championship game at the end of the year, and that will be it, right? We're going to decide a champion between our two leagues, and then that's going to be the playoffs. Screw the rest of you guys. Like, that,
yeah.
I mean, the ACC is going to be so far below that sort of setup that, you know, Notre Dame's going to have to look around and be like, are we sure we want to do this? Like that.
Well, that's, you know, good point. And, you know, and I'm still not sure that, I mean, I'm not 100% sure Notre Dame's going to join the ACC. That doesn't feel axiomatic to me. First of all, it does put their Big Ten standing in hockey at maybe a little bit.
How much is that going to drive the thinking, though?
Well, I don't know if it drives it very much, but it's certainly a consideration they have. And, you know, the Big Ten would still take Notre Dame, wouldn't they?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
so,
would the Big Ten take Notre Dame and Texas? This is what I think they see the competitive landscape of the ACC as more
pliable.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, you know, that's Clemson is taking the ACC to the championship every year. Before Clemson, FSU would take the ACC to the championship every year.
Coming back on radio standby.
That's a good gig.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub, and our MGO Blog Roundtable duo today of Seth Fisher and Craig Ross. And so, Craig, you were making a point in the break that I want to bring to the air because Ira mentioned it from an article earlier.
Okay.
But Ira mentioned a couple of things. First, he was like, hey, you know, what if Texas A&M goes to Clemson and they go to, I mean, goes to South Carolina and goes to Georgia and say, hey, you don't want Clemson to join and you don't want Georgia Tech to join, band with us. But, yeah, you know, those Georgia and South Carolina could then come back and say, well, one way to keep those schools out is to add Texas and Oklahoma and then there's no room for them. But even if it were a possibility, even if they were going to say, hey, we would band with you, you couldn't get those two schools anyway based on the contractual agreement that all of the ACC presidents agreed to, well, just a couple of years ago now, right? That takes their, you know, takes them through 2036. But you made the point in the break, Craig, that you don't think that that's necessarily binding. Why?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, contracts have to be conscionable. In other words, they've got to be in some very, very, very broad ambit of fair and reasonable. And there are cases where contracts have not been enforced, even though people negotiated them, because they were just plain out unfair. And so if Duke, say, goes on to decides, you know, we're being squeezed in ways we don't like by the ACC, and they decide we're going out and we're going to go to the Big Ten. I mean, I don't think that would happen, but let's say we go to the Big Ten. But all our Big Ten monies have to go back to the ACC. Are they, you know, is that going to be viewed as something that's reasonable, conscionable? And might a court not say, particularly a North Carolina court, if they're being sued in North Carolina, would a court say, you know, this just isn't right. This just isn't fair. And we're not going to enforce this, particularly if there are external factors that have been squeezing Duke. So it isn't so clear to me, just because it's in this contract, that it's necessarily going to be enforced by a court.
Yeah, I wonder if these institutions will practice. Cause I think you said Ira Dennis Dodd wrote, you know, they could decide to leave and just sue me.
Yeah, sue me. Try it. See what happens.
Yeah.
Take the chances.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in a settlement of some sort is probably how it would resolve.
Right. It would probably. Right. That's what I think. You know, Duke, for example, hypothetically, would go to the ACC and say, look, OK, here's what we'll do. We'll pay you $20 million. We're out of here. And something like that. So I'm not so sure that that's an absolute game killer. You know, for example, we haven't talked about Georgia Tech yet.
Right.
ACC doesn't want Georgia Tech. SEC won't take Georgia Tech because of Georgia. And so it isn't so clear to me that Georgia Tech might not be a reasonable choice.
I mean, the dream scenario for me is Georgia Tech and Texas. I mean, you talk about getting into some markets, man. Now you're into some markets and to some recruiting footprints in a huge way, if you could have those two.
Right. And so Georgia Tech and Texas, that might be a, you know, that now I don't know that, again, back to Seth's primary point, I don't know that if there's a real need for the Big Ten to go to 16 teams just because the SEC decides to. And so it seems to me whatever the Big Ten does has got to be something that has a financial and or other upside that's, you know, pretty clear.
What was the thing we got, the Twitter question we got earlier, Ira, about the asking about the significance of getting more of a presence in the South by having schools from that? Go ahead.
Scott tweeted, I would worry about the lack of a presence in the South. If I'm the Big Ten, we run the risk of being too insular in the future as populations shift. Recruiting power is centered from Texas to Florida. We need teams there.
Well, actually, the population may be shifting to the UP, as far as I can gather, because of climate change. There's been a lot about climate change in the paper showing that, you know, the place that probably people are going to start where there's water and not lunatic weather, you know, isn't Miami, isn't Oregon, which is just burning up all the time, but maybe, you know, it's the upper Midwest. And so that who knows? I mean, that may be a, you know, the shift southward away from the Rust Belt may be a pretty temporal or, you know, transitional thing. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to have a presence in the South, who is it going to be? I mean, that's the question. And if it's Texas, great. If it's Georgia Tech, okay. But who else do you want out of the South?
Right.
Vanderbilt?
No.
School, but no.
No.
You know, so, I mean, that's the problem. And Wake Forest isn't a bad school. I mean, does Michigan want, does a Big Ten want Wake? No.
No.
So, I mean, so, yeah, I mean, the point is a reasonable one, but I don't know what, you know, it's a problem with a real solution.
I do hear some coming out of SEC. I do think that Missouri will be one of those hard nos. Missouri's coach said, quote, "I've been saying for years, we're the best conference of college football. And obviously those places want to join us. Maybe we were trendsetters leaving the Big 12. Maybe that opened the door and gave them courage to try it too." But he says, try it. They're not going to allow it to happen. They're going to try not to allow it to happen. I just don't know how much clout Missouri has.
I don't think they, and these, they, at the end of the day, both are newcomers to the SEC block. Like, who's going to, what leverage, what play do they have other than maybe you're saying, hey, you're going to make it harder on yourselves with Texas and Oklahoma in this league based on the divisional realignments, as you pointed out earlier, Craig, but that's really your only play. I just don't think that you can tie into the brotherhood in ways that are significant when you just join the brotherhood yourself.
Well, but they do need four schools. I mean, if four schools veto it, it sounds like, if that's true, that won't work.
Right.
You probably true. Already got, You probably already got Texas A&M in Missouri.
You do.
You go to Auburn and you say, wait a minute. Right Auburn, now you're at...
That's correct. Auburn will want it because Auburn will get shifted to the east and back into their natural rival. They play it anyway, but they'll be with Georgia. Auburn will have no problem being shifted to the east with Alabama to play and to be locked into their rivalry game with Georgia every year. Auburn okay, will not maybe, be a no.
All right. And so, but I don't know if that's going to be true of everyone in the SEC. I mean, does Arkansas all of a sudden want to be the worst team every year in the SEC? Or do they want, you know, will they feel that way with two better programs coming in? Might they just say, I don't want to be over there and play those guys and be, you know, I don't want to be Kansas.
How they say we're Arkansas and we're always going to be Arkansas. We might as well take the additional money.
And they like the old SEC rivals. They get more Southwest Conference. They could basically turn the SEC West into the old Southwest Conference.
Now, yeah. To your point, though, Craig, I mean, there are schools that will be like, they would scream, like Florida would probably scream bloody murder, right? They'd be like, hell no, we don't want this. So there are going to be some schools that don't like how the breakdown, the breakdown would look like with those two additions.
Well, in Missouri and Texas A&M only need two partners, you know, to block it, as far as I gather. So I don't know. I mean,
make a this take here really quick. This is from a guy. Let's Toast Media. Texas is a reach. They will go to the SEC or the Pac-12 before coming to the Big Ten.
You know, I don't know why that's true. It may be true. I'm not saying.
I mean, technically, Technically, the Texas has already reached out to the Pac-12 and the SEC over the last decade, and they haven't necessarily with the Big Ten. So there may be just that to it.
There's maybe that's it. But I mean, it isn't clear to me that that Texas might not fit in perfectly well in the Big Ten. Texas
fits in the Big Ten in every way, but where it's located.
Yeah,
it's the only non-fit.
But I mean, how much
Texas is part of the conversation? The last time we did this, the last time we were doing this, Texas was actually part of the conversation. I know there's been no formal announcement. There's been no, but like
they were married to the Longhorn Network at the time, right?
There were two parts. It was that, and Texas and Oklahoma were a package deal to bring Texas Tech and Oklahoma State with them. The Pac-12 said no. There was an invite to Texas and Oklahoma. They said, we want these with us. And then the Pac-12 said no. And guess what? The Big Ten would have said no to the same option because you're not taking Oklahoma State and you're not taking Texas Tech. That may not be in play this time. It may be. It seems like politics have changed a little bit down there. Mm-hmm. But that part is the biggest change, is if Texas and Oklahoma don't have these, you know, being dragged by Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, then they could end up in the Pac-12. And long enough, the SEC votes no.
Right. And they're willing to divest, you know, get rid of the Longhorn Network and join whatever conference network they have. That's another really big piece to this puzzle. And they make more money. They make more money going to the SEC network. It's a gargantuan deal about to come. And I certainly think that you can make the argument that whatever windfall would come from joining the SEC would also come from joining the Big Ten at some point in the not too distant future. So I think it makes too much sense with Texas, and I don't think the academics would keep Oklahoma out if it meant, you know, not getting Texas. I think they take Oklahoma if it meant getting Texas, personally.
Well, of course, Texas could join the Big Ten and still play Oklahoma. I mean, those things aren't mutually exclusive.
The presidents, you say the presidents are going to veto this. The presidents care what donors think. Right, they've got to run these universities on money from their alumni, and the alumni are going to say, "What are you doing? You didn't invite Texas because you didn't want Oklahoma for academic reasons? Shut up! We'll be up there with the hammers ourselves. Come on, these conferences were built in the first place because we needed to get games, right? Like, it was hard to schedule games in the 1800s and early 1900s, and these conferences formed because they were regionally, because it was hard to get games, and you wanted other schools that weren't going to cheat because you wanted everybody to kind of be playing on the same wavelength. Why didn't Notre Dame, Notre Dame says it's because they're Catholic. That's not true. Notre Dame was a professional program. Notre Dame had as much to do with, the football team had as much to do with Notre Dame, the school, as the Detroit Tigers had to do with Detroit, right? They were a professional team, and they didn't want that in the league. They wanted everybody to be on the same wavelength. That's when academics actually mattered in a conference. Nowadays, this is a semi-pro league, okay? And you got to be thinking in terms of, we've got a marketable semi-pro league. How do we keep it marketable? What do people like? They like the Rose Bowl, and we're not using that right now. And they like playing places that they like to go to. I like to go to Boulder. I like to go to Seattle. I like to go to California. Like, these are cool places to visit if you're a Big Ten fan. If they want to control the South, we'll control the North.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing idea. I mean, I certainly think that you'll be in position to have to move, if not add teams, to come up with some agreement like that to counter what's going on in the South. Because as Ira was talking about, I mean, I could see all kind of reasons why this, you know, if you're some of these SEC schools, you wouldn't want to do it. I don't see them adding much more money, but this is the blockade. I think it's what you're pointing to, Seth, establishing putting a lock on the South, putting a wall up around the South, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, Texas and Oklahoma going to the Big Ten or the Pac-12 opens that region to those schools, not just in television, but in recruiting. You keep those schools out while also picking up some money. I think this is going to happen. And to your point, to react to it, why not have if you band together, it gives you some leverage in whatever you're going to do playoff-wise anyway.
Right.
Whatever you're going to come up with and agree to down the line, because this is obviously going to alter that discussion with the Big 12 going away, which is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Having a partnership with the Pac-12, I think, is functional. I hadn't thought about this Toronto idea. You're literally the first person I've ever heard Yeah, the only person I've ever heard.
They are in the AAU.
Mitch in Toronto as.
Well, it didn't. It struck me as we were talking. If you're looking at markets, Canada's a pretty big market. Canada loves hockey. I mean, are they gonna? What's gonna happen if
is there college football in Canada?
Then they play by CFL rules. How would that work?
No. They'd have to play by American rules. But we know there are plenty of football players from Montreal and Toronto area who play in the NCAA, and it would be an easy shift. It would be an easy shift for them in football. Hockey is a natural. Basketball is a natural. So, lacrosse, I suspect, would be a natural. And so they would bring, sports generally, and it would happen fast. And you would bring a whole country into the Big Ten. It seems kind of obvious.
You would bring a whole province into the Big Ten. I know people from Vancouver who get really mad every time we were like, hey, we're going to grab Toronto and we're going to have Canada. They're like, we don't care about them. Like, they care about Seattle.
Well, we bring in Toronto and, the University of Vancouver.
Yeah. Hey, so, guys, you got to get like a Big Ten media day sort of take from you guys. We have, and so someone asked, we have a couple of guys down there. We got Josh Newkirk and Zach Shaw down at Big Ten Media Day. So we'll have full recaps tomorrow for you. And of course, we have the virtual access as well. But any particular storylines or information you're looking for over the next couple of days out of Big Ten Media Days?
I mean, I would like to have some information about Michigan's football team, because as far as I know, they haven't existed since last fall.
They didn't exist last fall either.
The only thing that really cool that comes out of the Big Ten Media Days every year is Spath writes that one article where he goes around and like gets people's opinions about Michigan off the record. That one's always really cool. That's the only really thing I read about Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah, the anonymous takes on Michigan.
Yeah, that stuff's cool.
Yeah, those would be interesting. I don't know if anyone's really gonna do that anymore. It'd be interesting to see if they do though. I'm also interested to see if there are any people that have taken the tack that the Oregon State coach, which coach was it, Ira, that backed out? No, the Washington State coach that backed out of Pac-12 media days,
saying,
I'm not getting vaccinated, not getting into the reasons why. Everyone has their own reason. And so I'm not, but they have this, requirement in Washington State for people to be vaccinated, but the head coach is not getting vaccinated. I don't know how it all fits together over there, but he is going to be participating in Pac-12 media days virtually. And then you know that this is a take that he is, I don't think is rooted in anything other than the personal beliefs as opposed to a medical circumstance, because I think he would have said it's a medical circumstance.
Sure. If it was medically related, he would say so.
He would say it.
So he's just announcing something else. I'll leave it at that.
Right. And you have the administrators there trying to navigate that. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you stress to your student athletes, you need to do this. This is a requirement, but the head coach is not going to do it.
They'll get some more fans from Eastern Washington, I'm sure.
I'm sure that this will be a question at Big Ten Media Days about how each institution is handling it. As we know, Michigan is requiring all of its student athletes to be vaccinated. So,
I mean, we're running out of time, but maybe next week, Seth, you could just sort of do a...
Give us a preview. Give us a preview.
A brush through of your article about ticket prices.
Oh, God. I mean, this is like the worst thing for radio. This is wonky, market things. Yeah. I mean, basically, Michigan...
What drove you to do it? Like, what was the motivation, the thought process behind that?
Well, I talk about it in there that, like, my college buddies, like our group of friends, wanted to get together, bring the wives in, and everyone go to a Michigan game this year, because we actually plan on doing it last year, and last year was a whole thing. But we looked at the prices, and immediately they were like, that's ridiculous. Like, we're not going to spend $80 a ticket or $90 a ticket to go to the Rutgers game. That makes no sense. And so then I looked into why this is. And every time I looked, I was like, well, here's a problem. Oh, here's a problem. And then I looked into the packages, the ticket packets, because I've been getting emails like every other Michigan fan right now, like, buy tickets, buy tickets, buy tickets. And they're pushing these packages right now. And then I started looking at, like, okay, how many tickets are for sale for the Rutgers game and the NIU game? And it's ridiculous. There's like a large percentage of the stadium right now is on sale, and they're all going, they're all listed at the same price. And basically what's happened is they just got... The two sides aren't talking to each other. They don't know what they're doing to each other right now. Michigan is selling ticket packs to sell their using the Ohio State tickets to sell Rutgers and the rest of the tickets on the schedule. And I keep using Rutgers because that's the cheap one that you can add to it in that tier. Anyway, they're selling those in order to sell those tickets, but they're selling those at the price an Ohio State ticket normally goes for. So basically, people are getting their NIU and Rutgers ticket for free to get their Ohio State ticket. And this is not just all Michigan fans buying these tickets. And then they're immediately turning around and listing them the only place you can list your digital tickets, which is StubHub. StubHub, which charges ridiculous fees on top of all the tickets, so that
you're 40%, didn't you say? Ballpark?
40% of the actual transaction is going to be there. So it's really like an 80% bump up from the price of the actual ticket, right? So they're charging 40% of every single transaction is just paying them to do their just paying them to be the marketplace, and we're locked into that because we're locked into being their ticket partners. So they've got, it's like a double-edged sword. You got one side, Michigan is dumping all these tickets onto the secondary market. On the other side, the secondary market is artificially keeping prices high, so these tickets aren't moving. So what you're just going to end up having is a lot of tickets unsold. There's no way to move all these tickets before that game comes because the tickets can't drop down to market price. So people can't, I mean, even though these are really $6 tickets at this point, given how much is on the market, you can't sell them at that price. There's no way to do it. So people aren't going to be buying those tickets. People are just not going to come to the game, and you're going to have huge empty swaths, which then TV is going to pick up on, media is going to pick up on, and they're going to say, oh, Michigan fans aren't interested. Recruits, they're not going to understand, like, the, you know, the ticket sales that happened in July are causing this. They're going to look at it and say, like, oh, Big Ten or the Big House is empty. People aren't interested in this program anymore. So they're setting themselves up to fail, even though it's not really I know interest is down this year, but it's not really an interest problem. There are 100,000 Michigan fans you can find to fill that stadium.
If the prices reflected the actual market value of the tickets.
Yeah, if the market was free, Michigan fans would go.
Right, and the connected to that is, to me, this implies in the Ohio State game this year, you're going to have half that stadium or more being filled with Ohio State fans.
No, because season tickets are still the bulk of sales. Season tickets are still most of their...
They're still going to be dumped.
I mean, I've been in that stadium in 2009 when Michigan was terrible.
When was the last time it wasn't... When was the last time there wasn't a sea of red... To overtake
any stadium. And keep in mind, you can see red much better than you can see blue.
Easier than blue.
Right. So if it's 25% Ohio State fans, it looks like 33%. And when they start doing their OHIO cheer around our building at the end of the game, it feels like there's, you know, 80% Ohio State fans. And Michigan fans leave during the game, so then it feels really ugly. You're not going to do anything about that unless you're more competitive.
We will pick it up next week. You can check out Seth's article over on mgoblog.com. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow, Big Ten Media Day discussion, full recap. Be sure to tune in here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.